We've all been there. We've all been so frustrated with our child that we lose our cool, that we yell, we raise our voice. And sometimes we feel so stuck in this place of anger that we're not sure how to move forward. Today's episode is going to give you a really simple but super powerful tool for those moments where you feel stuck in your anger as a parent. And I'm going to show you how I used this tool in my own parenting this past week. Let's get into it. Parenting is the hardest job ever, and parenting a highly sensitive child who's struggling can feel downright impossible. If you're suffering through endless meltdowns, walking on eggshells, and losing sleep worrying, you've landed in the right place, because I'm here to help you feel good about parenting your highly sensitive child. I'm Dr. Hillary, clinical psychologist and mom of three, and you're listening to the Raised Resilient podcast, where I help you make sense of your child's challenging behaviors and build resilience in the face of their big emotions. So warm up your coffee and grab your earbuds. It's time to turn your child's sensitivity into their superpower. Hey friend, welcome back to Raised Resilient. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Dr. Hillary, and this is another one of my parenting reflections episodes where I share something from my own real life parenting to help you feel less alone and to give you some strategies that I'm actually using in my day-to-day with my own kids, because I am imperfectly using and applying what I teach you. And so I want you to see what that looks like. Now, before I get into this week's story, I want to share with you just a couple of resources that are there for you if you are struggling with your child. First of all, if you've been wondering if maybe your child is the type of highly sensitive, emotionally intense child that I'm talking about in these episodes, go take my free quiz. It's going to take you just a few minutes, and it's going to give you such helpful information on what's going on with your child's temperament and how you can support your child's unique temperament. So you can find that at raisedresilient.com/quiz. And then if you know that you have a highly sensitive, emotionally intense child and you are struggling to parent them effectively, if you feel resentful, if you feel like it is just so much work to fill this child's bottomless cup, and you feel like you're spinning your wheels and working overtime, but you're still dealing with constant meltdowns and walking on eggshells constantly to avoid these constant meltdowns, then I just want to say to you, it does not have to be this hard. I know it's hard. I know right now it feels impossible, but I promise you it does not have to be this hard. So if this is you, I would love to talk to you about how I can help. We'll jump on Zoom for about 45 minutes. We'll talk about what's working and what's not, and we'll figure out together the next right steps for your family. So if this is you, book your free breakthrough session today. Go to raisedresilient.com/breakthrough, and let's talk about how to help you end the constant meltdown, stop walking on eggshells, and restore actual peace to your family. Okay, so let's talk about where I was at this past Monday night and why I lost my cool and what I did so that I could parent effectively, even though I felt angry, and so that I didn't stay stuck in my anger. I've been talking about this a lot lately here on the podcast and on Instagram, but if we are just trying to white knuckle through our feelings, if we get angry and then immediately feel like we should not feel that anger and then try to push it down or just white knuckle through it because we're supposed to be calm to be effective, right? When we approach our own feelings in that way as parents, we get in our own way and we actually make it so that we stay stuck in our anger and we are not effective with our kids. We kind of perpetuate this cycle of trying to stay calm, trying to stay calm, trying to stay calm, even though our nervous system is not regulated, until we just lose it because we have not been tending to our own needs or setting the boundaries that we need to set. And this is such an important idea, but our nervous systems are not meant to be regulated 100% of the time. Our nervous systems are going to move in and out of regulation, and our nervous system responses need to be flexible. That's the whole idea. That's why we have nervous systems, to keep us safe and to help us respond appropriately to the different stressors we face in life. And I know you hear all the time that stress is bad, stress is bad. Stress is not always bad. Stress is a normal part of life, and we are not going to be equipped to deal with it if we're constantly white knuckling. Okay, so the answer is not to not have feelings. The answer is not to not be dysregulated sometimes. The answer is to be tuned into that dysregulation and to start to get curious about what you need in order to process your emotions and what you need in order to get back to a state of regulation. So if we are in tune with ourselves, we are going to be so much more in tune with our kids. And the other really important thing to remember is that our emotions and our dysregulation, it's a signal. It tells us that our needs are not met, that maybe we haven't set the boundaries we needed to set in order to preserve our own energy levels. So if we white knuckle through those feelings, we are ignoring all of that and we are just eventually going to explode because we're just powering through with our needs unmet without paying attention to those signals. So let me tell you how this played out for me this past Monday. So Mondays are really special for me. I have made my schedule so that I spend my Mondays with my daughter. She's just turned 3. She's only in preschool 2 mornings a week. And I've got 2 more years until she is full-time in school. And so I'm trying to set up my schedule so that I have built in time with her where we can really just be together. And I'm so grateful that I get to set my schedule in such a way that I do get to spend Mondays with her. We both really, really enjoy Mondays together. So we do music together, which is a parent and child music class where we're basically doing exactly what the name says and making music together, singing and dancing and playing musical instruments and all of that. And that is super fun. And then we go grocery shopping together for the week. And, you know, there's something really special about getting to go grocery shopping one-on-one with a toddler or a preschooler. I have such wonderful memories of doing that with my oldest child when it was just the two of us. And that was honestly a big loss that I had with my second child during the pandemic because for so long, we couldn't go out in public and do basic things like go to the grocery store together. And because I was pregnant during the pandemic, we were even more careful. And so I feel like I just missed that entire time with him of getting to go out in public together, just the two of us. And don't get me wrong, like I have gone shopping with all 3 of my kids. And even with just one child, there are times when shopping with a kid is really stressful. So like if you hate shopping with your child, I see you, I get it. But my kids have really, really loved that experience. And it's really fun to just go through the store and have them help me pick things out and talk to them and facilitate them engaging with other people in the store and in the community. So that feels really good for me. And it's something I really, really enjoy most of the time. Okay, like, yes, we have our moments too. I don't want you to think that we don't. But most of the time, it's something that I really enjoy, especially when it gets to be one-on-one. And so then we come home and we do some food prep for the week. And then we go to a mommy and me gymnastics class, which my daughter really loves gymnastics. She has a really great kinesthetic awareness that she's just always had since she was born. And so she tries new things and she's very good about, I don't know how to describe this, but balancing effort with ease is kind of the best way I can say it. She really knows when to back off. She can go to her edge and then she knows when to back off. And she's also got this really wonderful ability to persevere through tough moments. And so the phrase, we can do hard things, thank you, Glennon Doyle, is something that we have used with her since she was little. And so she will be in a tough moment. And then she'll look at me and say, I can do hard things. And she'll try. And so I really love just like getting to witness that with her in this weekly gymnastics class that we do. And I think me being there with her really scaffolds her a little bit. So she's more willing to try new things than she might be if I wasn't there. And it's so fun to celebrate her and celebrate her wins and just say, oh my gosh, you did it. Like watching her week over week try new things and be able to do things she couldn't do the week before. Like that is so much fun. And I didn't mention this part, but in the morning, before we do these classes, we actually walk my boys to school. And lately, I have been letting her get out of the stroller and walk with me because it's just the two of us. I do have the dog, but it's just the two of us versus me with all 3 kids. And so, especially when we're not in a hurry, I feel comfortable letting her try walking next to me. And she's been so good about staying right next to me and just walking alongside me. And so that's been really fun too. Just getting to watch her experience that added freedom and that added responsibility. If you've ever walked with a kid, you know that they really encourage you to stop and smell the roses, so to speak, or maybe literally, because, you know, we're often just rushing from place to place. But walking with a toddler or a preschooler, you just really get to see the world through their eyes. And a lot of mornings, I'm rushing back to do something for work, but on Monday mornings, I'm not. I'm actually just able to be in the moment with her and we can take our time and enjoy nature together. And so that's really fun too. And then lately, because we're in the thick of soccer season with my boys, On Monday nights, my husband has both boys at soccer practice. And so we come home from gymnastics and it's just the two of us again, me and my daughter. So we have dinner together and then we do bedtime together and it's just really nice. So this particular Monday, we had had dinner and it was a little bit on the earlier side. And so we had some time to not rush right upstairs and go to bed. And it was also gorgeous out, like so beautiful. And so she asked me, "Mommy, will you jump on the trampoline with me?" And there are so many times I have to say no to her. I have to say no to my boys. They ask me to play with them and I'm in the middle of something and I have to say no. And so this is one of those moments where I could follow the need. And I was like, "Sure, let's jump on the trampoline." And the joy on her face when I said sure was just so wonderful. So I jumped on the trampoline with her. And then she asked me to sit on the swing with her. And I knew it was getting late and she had also had a lot of exercise. She was tired. And I knew that we should probably just go straight upstairs. But I was like, "No, okay, that's fine. Let's sit on the swing for a few minutes." And we had this really sweet moment on the swings and the sun was setting. And I was telling her how I used to sit on this very swing when I was pregnant with her and wait for her and get excited for her to be here. And it was just this very, very sweet moment. So then we did go upstairs and she immediately starts having a dance party. She got this new little piano or mini keyboard that my dad got for her. And you can carry it around and push a button and it plays a beat. And of course, you can use it like a keyboard too. And so she just starts having a dance party. She is just in her element and she is grooving and she's like, "Clap for me, Mommy." And then of course, I take a video to send to my parents. And like, it was just very, very sweet. And in the back of my head, I'm like, "We need to get her to bed. She's going to hit the tipping point of overtired. But also, this is so cute and we're having so much fun." And maybe there was also a part of me that didn't want to say, "Okay, time to move forward with bedtime," because I didn't want to take this sweet energy and shift it into something that was dysregulated and frustrated, right? Like, I can hold space for those things, but there was a part of me that didn't want to. And so I should have set a boundary and said, "Nope, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to move forward to bedtime. I'm going to help you stop." But against my better judgment, I just let it go on because we were having fun. And I don't know about you, but if you have a 2-year-old or a just turned 3-year-old like I do, we've just completely dropped our nap, right? And so bedtime kind of requires this precise timing, right? Where if you miss the window of where they're going to fall asleep easily, they're overtired. And this is true for kids of all ages, not just for little kids, and even for adults, right? If you've ever hit your second wind, that's really a cortisol spike saying, "Hey, you've blown past your energy reserves, so here's some cortisol to help you keep going." It's like you're running on fumes, and so your body's like, "Here you go, here's some extra stress hormone." And so that's really what's happening for our kids in these moments. But I feel like our really little kids, our toddlers and preschoolers who are dropping their nap and trying to function without a nap for the first time, like that's really a tough time and you kind of need to be a little more precise with bedtime. And I was not on this night, as you can tell from my story. So by the time we had actually moved on to bedtime, it wasn't even that late. We were just past the window where I knew she would fall asleep easily. So we get through the bedtime routine and that goes fine. It doesn't really take that long. And then I get her into her crib. And of course, at this point, she's gotten her second wind. And so she's not immediately sleepy and she's begging for me to stay with her. And this is a kid who typically falls asleep by herself, happily singing herself songs and playing with her little stuffies, no problem. That's not to say that I don't sometimes have to come back in and give her another hug or another kiss, but typically she is pretty good about just putting herself to sleep. But she didn't want to do that tonight because she wasn't feeling immediately sleepy and she didn't want me to leave. And so she was begging for me to stay. And once again, instead of setting a boundary, I said, "Okay, I'm going to sit in the chair for just a minute and you're going to work on sleeping and then I'm going to say goodnight and I'm going to go," which is normally what we do when she's a little bit resistant to us leaving the room. We sit in the chair for a few minutes, she settles in, we say goodnight and she goes to sleep. Not this night. Okay. I tried to leave and she said, "No, don't go, Mommy. I don't want you to go." And I said, "I know you don't want me to go. I know it's so hard. I'm going to miss you too, but I know you can go to sleep." And of course she was just not having it. And again, I didn't set a boundary. I just kept coming back. And as I was doing this, I'm sure you can relate, I was getting more and more and more resentful. What had been this very sweet, connected dynamic started to turn into me feeling resentful of the fact that, okay, it's 8:30 at night. Okay, we're creeping on 9 o'clock at night. And I have not had a second for myself. Like, yes, my Mondays are so fun. I love spending them with my daughter, but I have not had a second to myself. And my child normally goes to bed at 7:30. And so we were up a good hour past her bedtime, and this just kept going. And then finally, she called me back into her room and she said she had to use the potty. So I got her up. I helped her get on the potty. And she hasn't done this in a really long time, but she did not actually have to go. She just wanted me to come back. I don't know if your kid's ever done that, but she just wanted me to come back. And I lost it. I was like, you have got to go to sleep. Stop calling me. This is not okay. And I'm like yelling at her and she bursts into tears. And then I feel absolutely terrible. And thankfully in this moment, I knew I needed a break. And so I put her back in her crib and I said, I'm going to be right back. And of course, she was not happy with this. Now, not only is she overtired, but she's upset because I yelled at her and she's just crying and screaming for me to come back. But I knew I needed a break. And so I went into my room and I looked at myself in the mirror. And then I did something that is so simple, but so incredibly powerful. I'm telling you, if you try this, you will feel a shift. But I looked at myself in the mirror and I said to myself, as if I was talking to a friend, I was like, it makes so much sense that you're frustrated right now. It makes so much sense that you got to the point where you lost your cool. It makes so much sense that you were enjoying spending time and you didn't set the boundaries and now you're frustrated because you didn't protect your own time. This would be hard for anybody. And it's okay that you feel frustrated and you are still a good mom. And she knows that you love her even though you yelled. So essentially, I validated my own feelings. I told myself that what I was feeling made sense. I recognized the dysregulation in my nervous system. I took a break and I spoke to myself the way I would speak to my child if I was validating her feelings. And what was really wild about this moment was that before I did this, I was having a hard time connecting with real empathy for my child. I was frustrated with her and I was just wanting to continue to tell her how frustrated I was. And if I had stayed, like even if I had taken some deep breaths and tried to regulate myself a little bit, if I had stayed and not taken that break, or even if I had stayed, but I hadn't spoken to what I was feeling, I would have continued to speak to her through my frustration and dysregulation. I might have even been saying all the right things. I might have started saying things like, I know you are wanting me to stay. I know you don't want to go to sleep. I get it. I understand. It makes sense. But does that feel validating at all? Absolutely not, right? Our highly sensitive kids are so attuned to us. They know when we are white knuckling and just saying the right things because we're reading off of a script or we know we should. But speaking to my own feelings and my own experience allowed me to actually access empathy for her, like real, genuine empathy for her in that moment. And so when I went back into her room, I was able to truly soften. And I was able to give her what she really needed from me. I was able to empathize with her struggle and repair for yelling at her in a way that was real and not just me saying the words. And then once I did that, both of our nervous systems were more regulated. And then I was able to say to her, you know, I should have made sure that we went to bed earlier, but I was having so much fun with you that I didn't. And that's okay. That's going to happen sometimes. But right now, what is most important is that you lay your head down on your little pillow and I'm going to cover you and you close your eyes and work on sleeping because your body is so tired. And she did. She just laid her head down and I covered her and I told her I loved her and that I would see her in the morning. And I walked out and she went to sleep. She didn't cry for me anymore. She didn't fight me. She just went to sleep. And this happened because we were both able to release the feelings we needed to release. I was able to regulate my nervous system instead of just powering through. And then because of that, from that place, I was able to truly co-regulate with her. And y'all, it's not like my frustration completely dissipated, but I can't explain the shift that happened. It was a true internal shift in my energy. And I was able to access parts of myself, i.e. the parts that can be empathic to this little girl's struggle that were just closed off in that moment where I was seeing red. So I hope you take from this that parenting is not this game of trying to stay regulated constantly or seem regulated constantly. That is not what we're supposed to be doing here. And trying to do that is only going to make you feel disconnected from yourself and your child, okay? So that is not the goal. So next time you are so frustrated, can you take a moment and speak to that frustration? Can you validate that for yourself? Can you allow those feelings space? And then if you are so inclined, I would love to hear from you about what shifts when you try this. Send me an email, send me a DM on Instagram. I would really and truly love to hear what shifts for you when you try this, because I'm telling you, it is so simple, but so incredibly powerful. I hope this episode was helpful. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode. Want to continue the conversation and connect with other parents who get it? Join our free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/raised resilient. I can't wait to see you in there. And if you loved today's episode, I'd be so honored if you'd share it with a friend who needs it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we've got this.